Desert Island Discs.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Our castaway this week is a very famous conductor. Many of his records have preceded him to our desert island. It's Ontal Dorati. Mr. Dorati, have you had any prolonged experience of loneliness in your life?
No, I never had.
Do you think you could stand it?
I think I could, yes.
A question I sometimes asked is, do you have a big collection of records? Well, if you just had a set of your own, you'd have a pretty big collection. It's said that you've made more long-playing records than any other conductor. How many is it?
I made about 130, but I could not tell you whether it is more or less than others made.
Do you play the gramophone a lot for pleasure?
Not very much, no. I'm making too much music to do that.
How did you set about choosing your 8 records for this desert island?
Well, when I got this invitation to this island, to be an outcast, well, I thought about the circumstances by which I would get there. Of course, it would be an accident.
Of course.
Fundamentally, it would not be an agreeable thing to be on a desert island. It would be something imposed by the force of destiny. And I would think, what would I best want? First of all, music. That is necessary. Even if you wouldn't have asked me to choose records or choose music, I would have said music, that's what I want. Being on a desert island is something of an ordeal. So first of all, I would like to have music which would especially help me to bear this ordeal. Then I would like to be consoled with human memories, with memories and images of love. So I would like to have some love music. I want to have definitely human voices around me, so I want to have singing. I want to have chamber music. I want to have Mozart, and I want to have Beethoven.
Well, let's get down to cases. What's the first choice?
The first is Bach, and it's the cantata, Ich will den Kreuzstab gerne tragen, which is the music to help me to get pacified with my being on the desert island altogether.
Mm-hmm. Who would you like to sing it?
Gerard Souze will sing it for me.
The opening passage of the Bach cantata, Ich will den Kreuzstab gerne tragen, sung by Gerard Souze. What's your second choice?
Second choice is the beginning of the A minor string quartet by Schubert. This was a very difficult choice to make. Schubert, of course, must be with me. Chamber music must be with me, but there was so much to choose from. But this movement, it lingers with me through all my life, and I love it, and I want to hear it.
The opening passage of the Schubert Quartet No. 13 in A minor by the Budapest String Quartet. Mr. Dorati, where were you born?
In Budapest.
Was either of your parents a musician?
Both were.
Where did you study?
I studied at the Budapest Academy of Music.
I believe you are the youngest musician ever to receive a degree from the Budapest Academy.
The youngest or one of the youngest?
I heard the youngest. What do you think?
Possibly so.
And both Bartok and Kodály were among your teachers?
Officially only Kodály. He was my teacher who gave me the degree. And with Bartok I did work on a folk project for 4 years, so unofficially he was my teacher.
Yes. Had it always been conducting that interested you most, right from the start?
Yes, I always wanted to conduct. But I came to conducting in the natural way by doing it, not by somehow studying it in an abstract way. Yes. I was a practical musician, still am, playing instruments and performing and composing and doing music in a general way.
Where did you make your professional debut?
In Budapest, with the Budapest Philharmonic Orchestra.
And then?
And then I conducted at the opera. From there on, I went to Dresden as assistant of Fritz Busch, where I stayed only 1 year because I got a job as director of a small opera house in Western Germany. From there on, I began freelancing, and my freelance life led me to Paris, where I started to be involved with radio. I organized radio orchestras. That was a very new medium at that time. It was very fascinating. And I would have continued that, but then I got a call to conduct the Ballet Russe de Monte Carlo in England, which I accepted. I went there, and I thought I only do this for 1 day, but it became a many years association.
Yes, and that took you all over the world?
That did, yes.
It was in 1941 you decided to become a permanent resident of the United States.
Yes, actually I think I decided that sooner, in 1937, 38, and I became a citizen by 1943.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happened that I got more and more work in the United States, and then it was put to me that it would be the nicest thing to be the citizen of the country, which gives me my bread, which was indeed so.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's have record number three. What next?
This will take us back to Hungary, and will take us back to the Royal Opera House there, which was not royal anymore at that time, but I still remember it that way, and also to my teacher, Kodály. This will be a duet from Hári János, sang by the original cast, and I was there when it was first performed. I was right in the middle of this, so it's a very personal record. Also one of the most beautiful love duets in the world.
A duet from Kodály's opera Hári János, sung by Imre Palo and Isabella Nagy. Mr. Doherty, we'd taken up your career as far as the time when you decided to settle in the United States. What was the next milestone?
Well, the next milestone was when I specialized more or less on symphony conducting.
Mm-hmm.
This word came out of my mouth, not willingly, this word specialization, because I'm really the one who fights against it.
Yeah.
And really the fighting against specialization is taking me away from a job and takes me to another. Because I think one must be a general person, one must be a general musician, and not specialized for anything.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did some ballet and the people thought that that's what I could do only, I was sick and tired of it and wanted to do something else. Now that I have done 15 years of symphony conducting, I want to do opera again.
In 1945, you reformed the Dallas Symphony Orchestra, which had been suspended during the war. It must have been an exciting task to build up an orchestra practically from scratch.
Yes, that was very, very exciting, and that's a unique chance in a lifetime, and I'm eternally grateful that I had this chance. To describe it would take many, many hours, so I don't even go into it. But it was really something out of this world to create a fine orchestra in the span of about 2 months' time.
Mm-hmm. How long did you stay in Dallas?
4 years.
And then?
Then I went to Minneapolis, where I headed the symphony for 11 years.
Yes. You've just resigned from Minneapolis.
I just went away from there, yes.
What are your plans now?
Now I'm freelancing, and I concentrate on doing all the concerts and opera performances which I like to do. I'm happily in the situation that I've got more invitations than I can cope with, and I also write music.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that orchestral musicians differ much temperamentally in different countries?
No, I find that this is the most international crowd you can imagine. Musicians are the same everywhere. They even look alike.
Let's have record number four.
This will be again a Hungarian one, if you don't mind. And this is a Bartók record. It's a very deep, tremendous, tragic record. And if you ask me why I want such tragic music on the desert island, because tragedy is part of life.
Which is the word?
This is the second movement from Bartók's Divertimento for String Orchestra.
The opening of the second movement of Bartók's Divertimento for Strings, your own recording with the Philharmonia Hungarica. Well, Mr. Doherty, as you said just now, you've never specialized. You like to conduct a very wide range of music, don't you?
Oh, yes. I think that's one of the foremost tasks of a conductor and of a performing musician in general, that he should gear his taste to widest radius possible.
You've given the first performance of a number of outstanding modern works. Which ones do you value most?
That is almost impossible to tell, because I've given so many, and at the moment of their performance, each one was the most important thing in my life. But maybe I say, and again, a Bartók memory, that is his last work, his posthumous work, the Viola Concerto, which was a very heartbreaking and wonderful thing to perform for the first time.
Yeah. On the lighter side, you've also arranged a lot of Offenbach for ballet. You've recorded some Gershwin.
Oh, yes. Offenbach, Johann Strauss, Gershwin, many things of this I do and like to do. And there are no such discs on the Desert Island collection, but I assure you I will whistle some of these.
Now, your own compositions, which of your works have pleased you most?
When I write them, I like all of them, and later I'm terribly critical of them. But in general, I'm quite pleased with my new output.
Have you any particular ambitions still unfulfilled, either as a conductor or as a composer?
I have an ambition in general that I would like to be a much better person and a much better artist than I am, and I hope that I still continue that. That's a general ambition.
Yes,
you want
particular
to have more special thing as a composer? Yes, I want to write an opera.
Have you the story?
I have no story yet, unfortunately. I was looking for years, and accepted many, and then everyone I rejected. Mm-hmm. I'm now writing a ballet, which I contend is a study for an opera. And immediately after I finished, I set my task that I will find a libretto and I will do it.
We shall look forward to that. Well, record number five we've got to. What have we got now?
Record number five is a Brahms symphony, the third movement of the second symphony, which is one of my favorite pieces. There I chose a record of mine, also to be reminded of my own conducting by some little piece.
The beginning of the third movement of the Brahms Second Symphony, you're recording with the Minneapolis Symphony Orchestra. What next?
Next is Mozart, and I'm not so sure that I will wait until the sixth record on the island itself. There again I had to choose at random, and I wanted to combine this with human voices, so here is the Pamina Papageno duet from The Magic Flute, which is tender and humorous and beautiful.
The duet between Pamina and Papageno from Mozart's The Magic Flute, Sir Thomas Beecham conducting, the singers Tiana Lemnitz and Gerhard Huisch. Mr. Doratti, how well equipped do you think you are as a castaway? Could you look after yourself? Are you good with your hands?
Oh, yes, I'm fairly good, very good indeed. I think I could make myself a house, I could do all sorts of things, making tools, and I'd be all right.
Fine.
And one thing I couldn't do is cooking. I think I would have to live on fruits.
Mm-hmm. Can you fish?
No, I don't like to fish. I think that's not a particular art. I think I could fish if I had to. But I don't like either fishing or shooting. I don't like to kill animals. The only living thing I was ever shooting at were watermelons.
Watermelons? Successfully?
Oh, yes, I got some of them.
Could you do it with a bow and arrow?
I think I could do that too, yes. I did shoot with bow and arrow.
Oh, then you're going to be all right. Let's get on back to music, number seven.
Number seven will be again love music, again very beautiful music, and again sung music. It will be the end of the first act from Otello.
The closing passage of Act One of Verdi's Otello, Toscanini conducting and Raymond Vinet and Herr Varnelli singing. Now your last one, what's that going to be?
The last one, again, will be an opera, and I left it for the last because it's one of my most personal favorites, and that's from Fidelio. And I choose this moment when Florestan is freed, and Florestan and Fidelio, Leonore, look at each other and enjoy the moment of freedom and of being reunited again, which is the most moving thing I can imagine in music or elsewhere in art.
A duet from the second act of Beethoven's Fidelio, sung by Marta Mödl and Wolfgang Windgassen. Well, there are your eight records, Mr. Doratti. If you could only have one, which would it be?
It would be definitely the Fidelio.
And as every castaway is allowed one luxury, you have one too. What would you like to take?
Well, I have got two things in mind. May I tell about both, and yes. I make up my mind while I'm telling it. One would be a painting by an Italian master, Domenico Feti, representing a sleeping girl. That was my greatest love as a child and as a young man in Budapest. It hangs in the museum there. I hope it still does. And the other object of art, which I would like to take along with me, would be a Madonna, a wooden carved Madonna from the 15th century from the northern France, which is my own, which I own very happily. It would be definitely one of these things. Now, you got to know which, huh?
We'd like to know which.
The painting. Painting. It's far removed because I don't have it.
Yes. And one book.
And the book will be an anthology of poems. I think I like to read on the desert island many things, short things. It must be all in one book. And I got only one condition for this wish, that I should be the one to make the anthology before I would be marooned.
All right, you shall. Thank you, Antal Doratti, for letting us hear your choice of Desert Island Discs.
It was a great pleasure to be with you on this island.
Goodbye, everyone.